Now Nyong. And Nyong has scored what is surely the winner. Survival is in reach now. Mbai Nyong with possibly the most important goal of his career.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Serie A Spotlight. This is episode 128 and we're your hosts Matt
and Jake.
And the season is done, guys. So
almost
done. We still have that dreaded Atalanta-Fiorentina game taking place on June 2nd.
It'll potentially be a European Super Cup kind of game. The potential Conference League winners against the Europa League winners.
There you go.
And by the time you're listening to this, you might have already figured out if Fiorentina managed to beat Olympiacos in their Conference League final. As it stands, of course, this was the ideal day for us to record this week as it's action-packed with playoff games and European games.
Yeah. As our goal of the week, we obviously chose the goal that confirmed Empoli's survival. And Bayern Young turns out to be the greatest coup in January.
What a season he had since coming. I've got actually a few statistics on him. He's got 14 games, 6 goals and 1 assist since arriving. Literally, he solved Empoli's goal-scoring problem single-handedly. Granted, most of those were penalties, but you still have to score them, and he definitely has.
Well, it's not like Caputo, Destro, or Spendi were doing it. You know what I mean? So they needed someone, and then Bayern Young turned out to be their guy.
And I think that might have been, as the commentator alluded to, the most important goal of his career.
Yeah, that's because he hit the post against
Barcelona.
And he didn't score that chance.
Exactly.
That would have been lit, Nyang. That would have been lit. But this is great.
Missed 2 big chances coming on for Empoli this game because he didn't start. He came on. He missed 2 big chances. He could have been sent off for a second yellow card. But he wasn't, fortunately enough. And then eventually Cancellieri did play him the ball and he scored the winning goal in the 93rd minute. The scenes were impeccable, man.
Yeah. That's not why we're here today, guys, as much as we will be discussing the relegation dogfight, rather, that took place, that ended with Empoli surviving against all odds after beating Roma. Udinese beating Frosinone also in dramatic fashion, so Frosinone going down to Serie B. We will be discussing all that, but the main reason we're here, brother, is for our team of the season and our tops and flops, baby.
And unsung heroes.
Unsung heroes. Yes, so there's a bit of poetic license over there.
Yes, sit back and enjoy as we try to find an unsung hero in the Sassuolo team.
Literally. But let's start off with the relegation situation. Mm. There was Empoli-Roma, which Empoli opened the scoring. Udinese and Frosinone both heard the news. Okay. Empoli opened the scoring, so we both need to bring our A game now, right? Because whoever loses this game goes down.
Absolutely.
And then Roma equalized, and then they got word about it. Then Roma scored another, but it was VAR'd off. So they would have been hearing all that news back and forth, but it did end with Mbaye Nyang scoring in the 93rd minute to get them the victory. Udinese scoring late on as well through Keenan Davis. Yes. And Frosinone going down, bro.
And Frosinone actually played really well against Udinese, striking the post. Zortea was inspired, cutting in on his left and shooting. They were playing really well, and it was kind of harsh to watch them get relegated. But at the end of the day, the way I view this and the way I console my sorrows towards Frosinone is that they are a team composed of loaned players. That's unsustainable. When you look at the majority of their starting 11, they're not players that they actually own. They're loaned from Atalanta, Juve, Inter. Mm-hmm. You know, so I guess it does make sense for them to get relegated. Because some of the teams coming up have very interesting projects.
It's true. Unfortunately, Catanzaro won't be coming up. That's an update. The final is actually going to be between Venezia and Cremonese. The first leg takes place on Thursday, and then the second leg shortly after that, essentially. Empoli have a lot of work to do now that they're staying in Serie A. They kind of have that Sampdoria syndrome. Their players are aging. They don't have a lot of players that could get the ball in the box. They rather have old strikers that are there to finish off. It takes them a lot to get the ball anywhere near goal. They struggle defensively. It's easy to outmuscle them. It's easy to outpace them. They have a lot of work to do. Like Udinese, they have a young squad, and it's good that they played these stakes so mm-hmm. early on in their career, you know?
If Udinese hang on to the players they have, they'll only get better.
Mm-hmm.
Big if, though. You know, Samardzic, we know, is hot property. He almost left, almost going to Inter. But when you look at the average age of the squad...
He's probably off to Napoli.
Yeah. Most guys are 25 years old max. So this is a nice project Udinese actually have going. Empoli, yes, you're right. They need to reinforce. It's going to be tough for them. I think, judging by their situation, the owners and their budget, this will be their reality for a while. You know, trying to make do, trying to bring in a piece here and there to try to save you. I don't think that there's much hope for them in the long run. Like within the next 10 years, you know what I mean? I don't think that their objective will be to do anything other than try to survive.
No, I don't think they'll be having any European pushes anytime
but
soon.
Not even like the likes of Monza or Genoa, you know, that type. Of course, they're much bigger clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, of course, it's nice to have Empoli though.
And it's also going to be super interesting to see how the new talent in Serie A, through Como, Parma, and whoever gets promoted out of Venezia and Cremonese, how they fare, because before the season we had that situation where every team that was getting promoted, maybe one of them would survive and the other two would go down.
Mm-hmm.
But Genoa did well, for example, Cagliari did well, a bunch of newly promoted teams in recent history have done a decent job of staying up, even...
The likes of
Salernitana stayed up a while,
Monza,
you know?
Lecce, they
Monza,
all came up
Lecce,
yeah.
Empoli, now this is their most positive run in Serie A. They stayed up like three seasons in a row, I believe. So it's going to be interesting to see the new talent and how they push the old dogs out. The old dogs being the Sassuolos, the Udineses, the Empolis, so on and so forth.
Absolutely. And it's funny that we're calling Sassuolo old dogs now. It feels like yesterday that they got...
They were 10 years in Serie A.
That's wild.
Not 11. Pretty,
that's wild.
Pretty absolutely
And in our
crazy.
Last episode, we discussed all the players they brought in and what a disaster, basically, it is that they got demoted with all the talent they've had in the past 10 years.
Exactly. Shall we go through the rundown of the matches that took place in match day 38? Let's get that out of the way.
Perhaps we should mention also that the goal of the week for the best actual goal probably would have gone to Zach Kanye. Honorable mention to Scamacca. Of course, those were kind of exhibition matches and the games that actually mattered. And Young scoring a 93rd minute winner against Roma to ensure survival for Empoli is going to be our goal of the week.
Like, if you told me that Nyang was going to score the winner against Roma for Empoli to survive relegation at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have believed. Like, I would have thought Nyang was retired probably as well. There was Cagliari 2, Fiorentina 3. And what was, again, most of these are simply exhibition matches. Genoa 2, Bologna 0. There was Juve 2, Monza 0. There was such a Chiesa hustler goal in this one.
Yeah.
Lost the ball like 2-3 times, just kept winning it back.
In that Cagliari game, Kingston Mutandwa scored a lovely goal, another goal of the week contender.
What was his name? The guy of the Cagliari story that
I
mentioned
want
him
to say us. Francesco.
What were we calling him?
Ferdinand.
So Francesco, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Scored a lovely goal. He had told us about him, basically.
He said they got him like from the same talent pool that they got Luvumbozito from. Either the same scouts.
So
or
Angola, is he Angolan?
I'm not too sure.
I'll check that. I have it right here. Kingston Mutandwa from Zambia.
Okay, they must have a set of scouts that operate in Africa and have their contacts over
21
there.
Years old.
It was Milan 3, Salernitana 3. This was a very emotional game for all Milan fans. Because Simeone Wanko scored twice. It was Pioli's last game, it was Giroud's last game, and it was Simon Kier's last game.
And
Mirante's last game. Three of those were supreme servants for the club in a period that Milan got themselves out of that banter era and got themselves back to where they deserve to be, in the Champions League, fighting for the league pretty much every other season nowadays. Pioli and Kier was pivotal in that season where Milan came second behind Inter the season before we won the league. He was very involved in that season, rotating with Kalulu as well, but he had done his ACL, I believe. Pioli and Giroud just changed the game for Milan. Pioli, after taking over from Gattuso, he only instilled faith. He everyone believed in Pioli for four seasons. Like, it was a beautiful thing. There was togetherness in the Milan camp. You remember those days when Brahim Diaz was in and he had a really good relationship with Pioli.
The players respond really well to Pioli.
Absolutely.
They never betrayed him or spoke negatively about him. The only time we heard a little bit of criticism from the players was actually from Giroud, who said we didn't know exactly whether to attack or defend. But other than that, everyone seemed to love him.
Absolutely.
And how can you not love him? What a fantastic leader he was. And Milan owe him a lot. And he is one of the few managers to get over 100 victories with Milan. He will go down in history. Right now, recency bias might kind of blur what he's achieved.
The successes.
But when you look at where Milan were when Pioli was brought in, he turned it around.
Yeah.
And you can say, of course, maybe with the help of Zlatan coming back then, but of course he was the manager and he raised the level all around of the players in that 11. And they were young, you know, Theo Hernandez, Leao, they were all young. He made them who they
literally,
are today.
Literally, no. And he steered the ship for all of these players. He pushed them into the right direction. And for one last time, Pioli's on fire. Ooh. La 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 la. Great memories, boss. And Giroud, obviously, just scoring goals, handsome as ever. Just the most clutch goals, the most beautiful goals I've ever. The most trademark Giroud goal was that one against Spezia.
Oh, yeah.
Last minute.
Oh, yeah.
Very
putting
acrobatic.
His leg where I can't even put my head.
Yeah.
Giroud, man. The thing about most of these players that we saw their last game, Kier, Giroud, this was their best ever season.
Mm-hmm.
Like Giroud, to think he had his best ever season at the age he's at, 37.
Giroud had very consistently good seasons at Milan, bro. Everyone was always talking about that, but we can't rely on Giroud because of his age. You yourself have made that comment before, as well.
I mean,
but every single season, he absolutely fucking delivered. He was asked too much. He was asked to be in the prime of his career and play 2-3 games a week, which was impossible.
But he always
fucking delivered. And I don't feel like he slowed down in quality, in hunger, or in anything whatsoever. He just kept on delivering time after time, Giroud.
And just to show how hard it is when Jovic was given...
keeper this season.
Exactly.
Fucking hell.
He's got all those goals, assists, and the clean sheet.
Mm.
When Jovic was given the start, he demonstrated how difficult it is to play from the very beginning and to score because he didn't even manage.
And Jovic was coming on and scoring with Giroud to his side.
Exactly.
And Giroud was knocking those balls down for him. He has double figures, goals and assists, I believe, Giroud.
The kit I am wearing is an El Sharawi kit, and Milan's new kit that we saw this game against Salernitana kind of looks like it.
Yes.
Your wife on the sides, though.
Yeah. It's a beautiful kit. I can't wait to get one.
Yeah.
There was Napoli 0, Lecce 0. Not too much excitement going on over there. There's Napoli. Mm-hmm. Finally, guys, congratulations. The season is over. Napoli fans must have hated the season.
Right. The worst title defense in history.
Literally. Atalanta 3, Torino 0. This means that, essentially, Roma are not going to get Champions League because Atalanta cannot finish below 4th now. And this loss means for Torino that they would need to rely on Fiorentina. They probably would have needed to do that anyway. But Torino can still get conference according to how Fiorentina do in the Conference League final.
Yeah.
Lazio 1, Sassuolo 1. That's where we saw Zaccagni's excellent goal. Empoli 2, Roma 1, which we have gone through already. Frosinone 0, Udinese 1, which we have also gone through already. And Verona 2, Inter 2. Which Simone Inzaghi probably wouldn't be too happy about.
Yeah, he hates losing or not winning friendly, so let alone games like this.
Shall we speak a bit about the Conference League final, brother, before we go to our team of the week?
So you spoke to an enemy you went behind enemy lines, right, basically, and spoke to a Greek person.
I learned something new, basically, from this Greek individual that I spoke to today. Shout out, Giannis.
Of course.
Basically.
It's not going to be John, is it?
Jose Luis Mendilibar. He is the manager of Olympiacos.
Okay.
He was the manager of Sevilla last season.
Okay.
The team that won the Europa League over Jose Mourinho's Roma.
Okay.
Doesn't have many other successes in his history. And if you look at the
team... How did he end up at Sevilla? What's his history?
So he was with... He was pretty much in Spain his entire career. So he started off at Athletic Bilbao's youth team. And then he moved around a bit with Baskonia. But in most recent history, like from 2004 onwards, Eibar, Athletic Bilbao, Valladolid, Osasuna, Levante, back to Eibar, Deportivo Alaves, and then at Sevilla. So he was one of those managers that was always in the picture, kind of.
And grinding, doing it properly, it seems.
Yeah.
He's a former player, right?
And he's a former player. Yeah. He played for Athletic Bilbao. He has 106 appearances over there. I'm not too sure where these teams come from, but he had most of his appearances at Sestao. He had 34 goals in 275 games. A Spanish club. Hmm. They're a Spanish club.
Okay.
Founded in 1916.
It seems that Olympiacos' best players as well are guys that I haven't really heard of, and then a splash of throwbacks. So, for example,
Podence,
that's one of the throwbacks.
Wolves.
And bro, they've got what's his name?
Jovetic.
Yeah. Stefan Jovetic.
But what we're seeing from them this season, bro, is that they've cut the bullshit, the weird bullshit they were doing before. James Rodriguez, Marcelo, you know, and all of these just to kind of one up their opponents. Oh, look at the pull power we have here at Olympiacos, kind of thing. They've cut that bullshit entirely. This means a lot to them because they didn't win the league this year.
Ooh.
PAOK won the league.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So they're going to want this. And they are the first Greek team to make a European Cup final.
Wow.
So this means a lot to Olympiacos. And we saw what they did to Aston Villa, bro. They mauled Aston Villa. Everyone's talking about fucking Aston Villa. How they finished fourth in the Prem, and good evening, Unai Emery, and all this and that.
Yeah.
I think Olympiacos could actually, bro, get it done.
Of course they can. Yes, yes, it's a final, right? It can go either way. When you automatically favor a side in a final, history will show you that anything can happen. For example,
unless it's Real
the time Cruyff faced AC Milan, for example. Mm. Remember that? The time, of course, we don't remember it, actually, but we've heard the stories. Recently, the Atalanta-Leverkusen game. Leverkusen's strong favorites and they lose 3-0. Absolutely anything can happen, and let's see who gets it right on the day. This is going to be a big test for Italiano. We know that what Fiorentina have to offer. We know that they're going to love to keep the ball. Let's see how Olympiacos set up. I expect them to be tight, compact, and to try to hit on the break.
I expect, and if Fiorentina thought that West Ham was a tough atmosphere last season. The Greeks, bro. The Greeks, the Olympiacos fans, they can be pretty crazy as well. So I'm expecting a devastating atmosphere for Fiorentina once again.
Yeah, they'll do more than blow bubbles.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. The odds are 3.1 for a victory for Olympiacos, 2.4 for a victory for Fiorentina. Over 2.5 goals is 2.15, which is a naughty one. And under is 1.67. So those are just some odds for you guys.
Shall we go into our tops and flops?
Not wrong. Tops and flops. Starting 11.
Starting 11, all right.
Starting 11. All right. We did a real boomer thing, you and I, a real millennial thing.
What?
We both wrote them down on paper.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, my team is a picture of my diary.
I don't want to look. How shall we do this, bro? You go
so
first.
So I think we should do one position each. No, wait. We should do one department each.
Okay.
So, for example, we go goalkeeper. Yes. Mm-hmm. But our formation is 3-5-2. Tomorrow, Inter's formation, of course, who won the league?
Yeah.
Goalkeeper. Mm-hmm.
3-2-1. Di Gregorio.
Okay, Di Gregorio. Yes, of course. It was between him. It was between him, Sommer, and Vanya.
Yeah, well, to be honest, for me, it was between him and Sommer. It was between him and Sommer, but Di Gregorio took it no problem.
Di Gregorio just...
me.
And I just went based off what I saw.
Because he faces most shots. I could have fucking put Okoye there.
Because
I saw him pull the most miraculous saves this season because he faced most shots. How can I give it to Sommer when he was so well protected? Sommer did great, and it's good to see that a team like Inter can, in inverted commas, they thought they were downgrading from going from Onana to Sommer. But you will see that if a team is dominant, then and the goalkeeper is solid, he doesn't need to have be the caliber of Onana and Manyan, who could go up to half pitch and have a crack. It could be old reliable Sommer.
Absolutely. And he's off to Juve.
Yeah. Confirmed.
Pretty much. Yes. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Romano.
Fabrizio Romano.
So yeah, fantastic for Juventus fans and for Juve themselves. Yeah. They have another great keeper for the next God knows how many years.
Like you said it perfectly. He's the Vicario of the season.
He's the Vicario of the season, absolutely.
How funny, I called Vicario and you called Di Gregorio.
That's true. Next season we'll see who calls the next one. And now we've got three at the back. I think we should just take it in turns to say them. Uh-huh. So say
your three.
So I went for Bastoni, Calafiori, Bremer.
I did the same, but then I changed one of them.
You brought in Buongiorno.
No. Wait, what the hell is this? Bastoni, Calafiori, Mancini.
Mancini.
I don't give a fuck, bro. I don't give a fuck. Because he's done it. He Bremer had an excellent season, but Juve's second half of the season is the most devastating they have ever had in their careers. And defensively, they were weak.
Yeah.
In big moments, Mancini was the guy for Roma in the Europa League, in the Derby, and I just think that as a character, as the captain of a team, he deserves to be in the final 11.
Fair enough. Mancini was quite impressive this season. However, I did see him make a few mistakes that the likes of Bremer, Calafiori, Bastoni, and even Buongiorno to a certain extent haven't made. Because Buongiorno for me was a tough guy to leave out.
Yes.
And then even Hila.
Hila was good, bro.
But that's Hila more towards good. The second part of the season.
Yeah.
And that Hila was super. Mm. But yeah, okay, very close so far.
One difference. Bremer is a better defender than Mancini. I just thought that moments made his season this season.
Fair enough. Let's go wing backs. Yes, wing backs. So, wing backs are right in inverted commas because this isn't exactly functional, the right side at least. But my left wing back is DiMarco.
Same. Yes, okay. DiMarco, of course, obviously.
And then my right, I went for Politano.
You're crazy. What's this? Poetic justice. Like,
who have you put?
I went Bellanova.
I think
seven assists this season from right
Bellanova,
back.
Bellanova is incredible, and especially the way that he has operated in this exact position. But if you look at Politano's numbers as well this season...
Politano, the right winger, though.
The right winger, yeah, but... you can't fit him in?
No.
The
right wing back.
Okay, I mean, then right it's obvious. Hey, then it's obviously going to be Bellanova. He's the only one who had a decent season.
No, it was between him and Cambiaso for me. But output-wise, Bellanova was more effective.
No, I put Politano there and I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
That's my right wing back.
Midfield three.
Goodmanson, Çalhanoğlu, Coupe Miners.
Hakan, Barella, Coupe Miners.
You left out Goodmanson?
No.
Ooh, you played him striker.
Yeah.
Dirty pig. Barella you put?
I put Barella.
I didn't like the way he started the season.
Barella.
And ended it, actually gave the ball away last game.
Jake. Do not get it twisted. Inter's midfield is Barella. He's so fucking good. Like, they won the league, and I think he was a massive reason. Forget Hakan's fucking penalties. Barella was the guy in their midfield. Like, no debate. To me, one of the best midfielders this season in the
absolutely
league.
Yes, but when you look at what Goodmanson managed to do with the team he managed to do it with, mm-hmm. I feel like
no, I won't debate you there, but I put him in my team, like.
Exactly. So you have Lautaro Goodmanson up front.
Yes.
I have Lautaro Xerxes up front.
Mm.
It was going to be Lautaro Thuram, but my thought process was that Thuram had Lautaro by his side. Xerxes didn't have fucking anyone by his side. Xerxes was a lone striker. The way he had to operate, he had to reinvent this new position, kind of. And he did it to perfection. And he had the whole... Everyone watching was on their toes watching Xerxes.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention as well his output against the top teams. Because if you look at Thuram scoring against pretty much all the top seven teams, Xerxes did the same.
Mm-hmm.
Xerxes scored against all the big teams.
Uh-huh. No, so if I had put Goodmanson in midfield, I would have chosen Xerxes as well. The reason I decided to put Goodmanson striker is because you look at the top five goal scorers this season. Lautaro, he's there. Obviously, he has to be in there. And then there's Osimhen, Vlahovic, and Giroud. Which, to me, Vlahovic and Osimhen, some people would consider their seasons to be flops.
Mm-hmm,
because they are strikers that should be getting you 25 goals.
They are victims of their own high standards.
Exactly. 25 would have been top scorer. But let's say between 20 to 24, they should be battling at least... If the top scorer has 24 goals, they should be competing for that. Giroud, amazing, but a lot of them were penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Xerxes, and then I was looking at Xerxes, and I was looking at Goodmanson, and I'm like, Goodmanson has more goals from a deeper position. So I had to go for him.
Fair enough. Let us know in the comments whose team y'all fuck with most.
Yes.
Is that how the youth speak nowadays?
I don't know.
For real?
I wonder what our demographic is, like what our average age of listeners.
Yo, these guys whack for real. No, we have those analytics. They're mostly in their mid-20s.
Hello, homies.
Yeah. Hello, friends.
Yeah.
Yes, tops, flops, unsung heroes, bro. Yes. We'll start from Inter and we'll work our way down the table.
Yes, sir.
So Inter, top, unfortunately... You have to pick Lautaro. It's 32 games played, 24 goals, 3 assists. Top scorer in the league.
Top scorer, you captain, cannot pick him. Champion. Yes, champion. Simple as that.
World Cup winner as well now. Like, it's a fantastic season.
Hakan is a shout. Mm-hmm. DiMarco is a shout. Barella is a shout. Thuram is a shout. I just think that Lautaro is the only player that was capable of turning a game around by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they ever needed it. But he was the player that was capable of doing that this season.
Yeah, and for the first time in his career, he scored throughout the entire season.
Yeah, exactly.
Without taking a breather.
So he deserves props.
So we're in agreement so far.
Yes.
Flop is...
3, 2, 1, Arnautovic. Because they couldn't rely on their secondary strikers.
Exactly.
Him and Alexis, they couldn't rely on them.
Later on, towards the end of the season, when they really had to, they were relying on Alexis, not on Arnautovic.
Exactly.
Arnautovic had some terrible games this season, and don't let those 5 goals deceive you. 2 of them came in the last day.
Literally.
So he scored 3 goals all season.
Everyone was sleeping, bro. Yeah. Everyone was sleeping.
He's not dependable. 26 games played, mm-hmm. 3 goals, not dependable. Unsung hero is a difficult one because Inter's players are rated pretty well, pretty highly.
That's why I decided to go Pavard.
Pavard, oh, that's a lovely pick.
Thank you.
Pavard has been pretty much flawless at the back this season.
Very tidy. Uh-huh. Very tidy.
I went, for me, it was between Mkhitaryan, who's very unsung. But I will always pick DiMarco in this situation.
I don't feel like he's so unsung though, DiMarco. But he was my first one.
If you hear people talking about football in general and talking about left backs and whatever, DiMarco's name isn't brought up.
On a global
and
scale,
even when
he
people
is
think,
unsung.
When people think Serie A, they think Theo Hernandez. You know, it's DiMarco's pretty bloody good, man. And the way Inter operate, the way they transition, a lot of that play goes through DiMarco.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a player like Carlos Augusto, who was
benched,
ready to start, like, and we know what he's capable of. and he was left on the bench for DiMarco.
I'm not gonna argue at all of his qualities and how effective he is, so on and so forth. Now, I don't know if it's the case that because we rate him so highly.
I think that's the case. Is it unsung to us?
I was getting that, bro, with like the 19th placed team. I was like, but I think he's rated quite highly, this one. Like, no, he's not.
So if y'all think that DiMarco is rated perfectly well, then I'm going to go Mkhitaryan because he is so industrious and hardworking and technical and so explosive on the break still at his age.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll go for one of those guys.
Milan.
This was tough.
This was very tough. I almost did something like ridiculous. top. I went Theo.
You went Theo?
I went Theo for top.
I went Pulisic, man.
You went Pulisic?
Because it was his first season.
I get you, scored. But top isn't about exceeding expectations. That might be unsung hero. That might be flop or unsung hero.
But
top is the person.
Mm-hmm. Granted. When, I think Pulisic, it's true he didn't really do it against the top teams.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that can be quite a point to criticize him for. However, I don't feel like there was a moment or like a month where he disappeared.
Where he
was
sucked.
Always,
no,
yeah, he was always
right.
There, you know?
Uh-huh.
And his output was always... Not output, his movement was always correct, he was always involved, he was always lively, he came on and changed games, he started, he played well.
Mm-hmm.
For me, he impressed me this season, Pulisic. I did not expect him to impress me this much.
100%, 100%. And he was in the debate in my head. I just thought that, at a point, Theo, sometimes he was playing left wing back, left back, center back.
Yes.
Center back. And just, for a player that is so athletic as him, you would expect him to get so many more injuries. And there were so many hidden points that he would get Milan just by being so fucking street smart. Just by getting a player sent off, just by fucking winning some time, just by going down at the right time to relieve some pressure off his teammates. He's the smartest player Milan have in that regard.
I think so.
And keep in mind, there were a lot of occasions this season where he captained the team when Calabria was left out. So I really did see those leadership qualities come out in Theo Hernandez this season, which is why I gave it to him. My second, and who was going to overtake him, was Maignan. And I'll explain why. It's not because Maignan had the best season he's ever had for Milan, because he's probably had the worst season he's ever had for Milan. But still, in the big moments, bro pulls off mad saves.
But my player of the season can't be a goalkeeper who, in fact, it wasn't yours either, who misses so many games. When you look at it though, Pulisic in 32 starts has 12 goals and 8 assists, which is pretty mad. 20 top. Goal contributions in 32
Look at
starts.
Giroud's numbers and look at Leao's numbers, and you'll debate giving the top to them as well. Bro.
Yes, however, I can't give my top to Giroud simply because without the players around him, I know that's kind of a bullshit argument, but that's how I thought about it. Without the players around him, Giroud wouldn't have been capable of doing what he did.
I see where you're coming
and
from.
And he does come with his limitations at his age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes those flicks piss me the fuck off. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, granted, he did actually rack up those assists. And not to mention Leao, again, another victim of his own high standards.
Yes.
Because when it comes to pure talent on the team, Leao is miles ahead. Don't get it wrong. We're not undermining Leao's capabilities over here. It's just his consistency that he needs to work on. I gave it to Pulisic simply because he came in his debut season and he blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply why I gave it to him. Because if this was Leao's first season ever, for example, he would have probably got it. Uh-huh. Let's look at his numbers, actually, Leao. He's got 9 goals and 9 assists. The fact that Pulisic actually managed to come and do better.
Yeah.
Output-wise in his first season is
in
quite...
a position that Milan struggled with for so many seasons.
And in a position that we're not even sure Pulisic is preferred in, right wing, you know?
Mm. Who's your flop?
My flop is Malik Chow.
But he was out injured, man.
He was out injured, but when he came back, he was so, so, so shaky, bro. I know it's a little bit harsh.
Because he was injured for so long and he's like 20 years old.
Sure, but he was my flop, considering what I've seen from him in the past.
Fair enough.
Who have you put?
Calabria.
Fair enough.
Because I think Not that my expectations were so high of Calabria, but I believe the club's expectations of Calabria must be high because he's wearing the armband and he's starting every other game. So I think if I had to pinpoint one player when Milan were top, mm-hmm. Milan were top, if I could pinpoint one player and I can say he's a step behind, it's Calabria.
Fair enough.
And he's in the starting 11.
It's about time that Milan mm-hmm. actually
upgrade.
Upgrade. Not necessarily sell him, because I'm sure he's great for the locker room. He's one of mm-hmm. the only ones who actually knows what it's like to what Milan means at the core, mm. you know. And he's been through the ringer with Milan as well.
He has been.
Ciao was out injured, but he did get 21 games. So mm. he got more than half the season. And never actually grew into the season. I think he had one game where we praised him. Other than that, mm. it was kind of disastrous. Let's be real. Granted, he's young. Again, as you mentioned, 22 years old. But I expected more from him.
That takes us to our unsung hero. I think there's only one correct answer. Maybe two.
It depends. So, Giroud is criticized a lot. Could he be an unsung hero?
You and Giroud.
I wrote Giroud, but I have a backup just in case it isn't. Just in case it doesn't count.
I think Giroud can be an unsung
hero. I agree,
hero.
Okay. So I have Okafor.
Okay.
Who do you have?
The only correct answer.
Who?
Gabbia.
Gabbia, dude.
Gabbia. Gabbia came in for 6 months and solved everything. So many problems.
It's true, so many problems
he solved, man.
But same can be said about Okafor, because when he was brought on in situations, he solved many problems as well.
I was going to put Jovic.
Jovic again, but Jovic, then the problem is when he was given the start, he never actually did anything.
That's true.
I feel like Okafor's season was fucked with injuries. Mm-hmm. Fucked it was. Like he was constantly, like he would come back getting injured. But it like never stopped him. Mm-hmm. He still maintained that hunger and that desire, and he never slowed down.
I like Noah.
Noah, I'm curious to see what he can do if he's healthy.
Next.
Yeah, let's go.
Juve.
My top is Bremer.
Same. Easy.
36 starts. Easy. He's a wall, consistent, even managed 3 goals. Mm-hmm. He's a tank in front of that.
Uh-huh. And I think everyone else was so inconsistent for Juve that you can't even begin to consider anyone else.
It's true. I found
Vlahovic too inconsistent. Chiesa was being treated like glass uh-huh. by Allegri. Uh-huh. Yildiz was coming off the bench too much. Rabiot had nowhere near the season it typically
exactly.
has.
Yes, I'm in total agreement with you. Flop.
Could you go?
He had the unluckiest season I've seen in my life. But
if you're going, a
striker who's played 19 games for Juventus this season, and your numbers are 0 goals and 0 assists, you're my flop.
Moise Keane.
Yes.
He has had one of the most unlucky seasons.
Bro, so unlucky. The offside calls against him were nuts.
He's had the craziest one I've ever seen in my life offside, bro.
Yeah.
So I was torn between two. I put Kostic.
That's my second option
just
over here.
Just because he fucking sucked.
He's one-dimensional.
And he sucks.
Yeah,
Kostic.
And Cambiaso came in and just uh-huh. replaced him.
Second, I had just as an interesting shout, talking point, whatever. If we're talking about the club's expectations, Alcaraz must have been below expectations
the
for 50 them.
50 million close.
50 million fucking.
Did they get promoted? Southampton? Because there was a clause. There was a clause basically saying that if Southampton don't get relegated, he extends his contract.
Oh,
they don't get promoted. His loan is extended. Southampton Football Club.
I think they're in the playoffs, dog.
Wait, there are fireworks. Championship champions. They're up.
They're up?
They're up.
Which means
that he has to go back.
He has to go back. Nice, Alcaraz.
Unless they trigger the 50 million option.
Exact.
So we're trying.
Unsung.
Unsung Cambiaso.
I agree.
Offered something refreshing. He came, he played 34 games, scored 2 goals, got 3 assists. It's not even about the numbers. It's that new element and that new dynamic, that new avenue he added to Juve's game.
Uh-huh. I also have Yildiz listed down because Chiesa's often injured. And Yildiz came in and did a really good job, man, in some big games as well.
Agreed.
Atalanta.
So my top is the man I love, Coop Miners.
For a top, I put Lookman. This year I put Lookman. I've always put Coop Miners so far. This year I put Lookman.
I can't justify not putting Coop Miners because of his versatility, the fact that he can sit in front of the defense and build up play slowly. Mm. He can sit behind the attack and score goals. He's so good, man.
I agree with all that. But 12 did he goals, score a hat trick in the Europa League final against Leverkusen?
We're talking Serie A, no?
Oh, come on. Come on. We're talking Atalanta.
I disagree with you. I think it's Coop Miners.
Okay.
Flop.
Bucker.
Yeah, never got going. Criticized by Gasperini the second he signed. Subbed in and out of games. Never really showed us what he can do. Mm-hmm. Did he?
I think we're going to agree on the unsung hero.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
I was between two.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And I don't know if he's unsung because apparently Liverpool want him.
Gym City?
No, but very nice shout.
Their
I
own.
Gym City. I put Ederson.
You put I don't think he was too unsung because Juve want him.
Liverpool want him.
It was insane.
If it's not Ederson, I'll go for Karnesecki.
Mm.
His first season in the top flight, and boy was he good.
He was very good. I'll go Jim City. I think Deron is typically a good option for unsung as well. He was playing in defense a lot. But Jim City, I think he offered a lot of stability for them at the back, especially when you've got Kolasinac, it's his first season. You've got Scalvini, who loves bombing forward. Jim City, just
anchors. Exactly. The back. Yeah, Jim City, bitch. Bologna.
Top.
Xerxes.
Uh-huh.
11 goals, 4 assists.
Calafiori, yeah. Ferguson, and all these guys are. I would get any of you if you say them. But Xerxes, to me, is different gravy. No one has what Xerxes has.
And I wanted to put Calafiori somewhere over here. But he's not unsung. In fact, I wrote him over here because he just had too good a season, man. Mm-hmm. You know, 29 games played, playing at centre-back at 22 years old. And again, redefining the role. 2 goals, 5 assists from centre-back as well. Sometimes, of course, operating on the left. But he was totally solid for the side that team struggled to score against.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Flop.
Jesper Karlsson.
Jesper Karlsson. I was going to put Karlsson, but then I remembered a certain Sidney Van Hooijdonk.
Oh my God, Sidney Van Hooijdonk.
Van Hooijdonk was the second striker for Bologna coming into the season behind Xerxes. He disappeared. I don't even know where he is right now. And the teenage Castro ended up deputizing for Xerxes. And he actually scored.
I forgot Van Hooijdonk even exists. Yes. So you're probably right over there, bro. Speak of a
flop. Karlsson had a bad start, kind of became more involved in the team later on and didn't look too out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Unsung hero for me is a man who did his ACL.
Ferguson.
Yes.
I think he's too highly rated.
Yeah.
I think he's too highly rated. I went Freuler.
So in that case, I would agree with you.
And
Freuler.
Just a mention to Solimakas, because it was his first season there, playing on the left, and he found a lot of consistency.
Yeah.
under Thiago Motta. Great industry, he defends as well. Direct when he needs to be, defensive when he needs to be. He had a great season.
Even like an unsung hero could also be Dan Ndoye, whose numbers weren't great, but on the pitch he gave absolutely everything.
Coming on as a sub when everyone's tired, he did a fantastic job. But he scored 1 goal this season. Yeah. I think Remo Freuler though, because Motta's 2-7-2 formation.
Here we go.
Required one fucking man in the middle of it all,
yes.
And that was Remo Freuler. Freuler who flopped for Nottingham Forest, apparently. But then he came back, utilized in Motta's system, gets Bologna fourth.
Yeah, he's the perfect metronome.
Fifth, rather.
Roma.
Wait, did Bologna finish fourth or fifth? Because I'm
Bologna currently are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5th. Yes, fifth. Atalanta overtook
exactly,
them.
Exactly, yes. In that last.
Yeah, and now Atalanta can overtake Juve as well. Mm. Keep your eyes peeled for that European Super Cup.
Roma.
Look, man, my top... Look, my top has to be Dybala, man.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Dybala, like...
You know, when fit, he managed to get 28 games, which for him is a lot.
Ask me any question about Roma.
Dybala. What's their emblem?
Dybala.
Very good.
Thank you.
What's De Rossi's first name?
Dybala.
Very good. 28 games, 13 goals, 9 assists. A pretty good season for him. He actually managed to stay quite fit for it as well. So, yeah, he'll be the top over there.
Dybala.
Flop?
Renato Sanche.
Oh my God, I forgot about him. I put Rui Patricio.
Well, it's not a bad shout at all, bro.
I was looking at the stats. Guess how many goals he prevented? Minus 3.5. Tell me, how the hell is that possible? Minus 3.52, meaning if he wasn't in goal, you would have conceded less.
Literally.
Yeah. Zvilar played, of course, 15 games coming in. He made 4.1 saves per game. He's 24 years old. And his goals prevented was 1.16. So I don't exactly know how this metric works, but it's not about the metric. No, it's about Zvilar. The fact that Rui Patricio has dipped so aggressively. And Zvilar looked so refreshing.
Yeah. Unsung hero.
For me, he will always be... It will always be this guy for Roma. He's kind of like Mr. Roma. At Atalanta, you have the likes of Darun. At Roma, you have Cristante. Mm. And Cristante can break down play. He can ping it across the pitch to perfection as well. He only missed one league game this season and he averaged 89 minutes per game. He has 3 goals and 4 assists as well. And if you look at his heat map, it's absolutely wild. Brian Cristante is my unsung hero.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. I went Paredes.
As well.
I probably agree more with your shout than I do my own.
Paredes had a very good season.
Paredes had an excellent season. And Paredes, he gives you that grit that you need in midfield. That character, that personality.
That I'm going to launch the ball into the Netherlands bench kind of
exactly.
shit. You know?
Him and Mancini really have that for Roma. And they make Roma these devils. Yeah. And I like that about Paredes. And he flopped at Juve, didn't have a great opening season, so I think he's a good unsung. Lazio.
The top for Lazio might have been one of the toughest tops of them all. Came in and out at different times.
Like, I wouldn't blame you if you put Tati, I wouldn't blame you if you put Zaccagni, I'd blame you if you put Felipe Anderson.
You haven't even mentioned the one I put.
No, not even... I put Luis Alberto.
I put Luis as well, even though he kind of disappeared.
He wasn't even that good, bro.
He wasn't even that good this
like,
season, it's true.
He wasn't even that good.
But I think he gives them something, that kind of creative spark that they need. He gets a goal out of nothing and his numbers don't lie as well, you know. He still managed 5 goals and 7 assists, highly involved. Zaccagni had a decent season, but Luis, I think, was still better.
Uh-huh. It was a tough season for Lazio.
It was a tough one. Managerial change on the flop. I have two. One is a victim of his own high standards, and Ciro Immobile.
No, I think we started to see the decline from Ciro last season. Uh-huh. So
let's exclude him because I kind of agree with you as well. Uh-huh. I'm gonna go for Casale.
Ah, nice. I agree. Casale.
Boom. Only 15 starts and terrible performances, and he's still quite young.
Horrible performances.
And
he was
good
the guy last
season
with
yeah,
Romagnoli.
Even at Hellas Verona the season before, he was very good as well with Rahmani.
No, I was reading some Lazio fan blogs and shit when I would be doing my prep for Lazio. And that Lazio podcast, what's it called?
Lazio Lounge.
Excellent. No, they weren't big fans of the way Casale performed this season either. Huh? Especially the blogs, they wrote some
horrible things.
Mean stuff about him.
Unsung hero, not
I
sure
think
if he's
agree.
Unsung. It's Gila.
Yeah, it's either Gila, or Gila. Okay, one of them, but I think he's unsung because he took Casale's place easily. And I don't think, unless you watch Lazio, I don't think you know
who Gila is. Yeah.
Because Gila, he's got that Quarta in him. He's got that Scalvini in him. And he is such a fast center back. His recovery is immense. His slide tackle is
brilliant.
He's
got that 90s slide tackle.
Yes, bro. Yeah. I love his slide tackles, man.
Yeah, very good defender. I don't think I've seen him make a mistake, to be honest with you. Fiorentina.
Top, Nico.
28 games played only, huh? But still the top with 11 goals, 2 assists. He's ferocious when he's on the pitch. He's crazy. At the start of the season, the way Bonaventura was playing, he looked should have been the top.
He dipped
and came back now in the last match.
Exactly.
With a final trademark Bonaventura goal.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think Nico Gonzalez is pretty much uncontested over here.
Flop.
I put in Zola. Because at least Belotti presses.
Aha. Belotti presses. At least Beltran, they found a place for him. They're like, look, play a bit lower down.
But in Zola,
he picked up a bit at the end of the season.
I have made it abundantly clear that I thought that Fiorentina should have never signed him to begin with. He's not the player for Fiorentina.
Bro, but there was this one game, man. There was this one game for Spezia against Inter, where Inzola was one of the best hold-up strikers I've ever seen in my life.
He looked like he was playing in a mech suit.
Bro, and he had his shorts were really... You know how he does, he pulls his shorts up like... And he was so muscular, holding off two defenders at the same time. He looked so strong. I almost wanted him at Milan at that point, I'm not gonna lie.
Come on, bro.
Unsung hero.
My unsung hero is Michael Kayode. Look, Dodo got a serious injury early on in the season. They looked at their bench. Italiano looked at the bench and he saw this 19-year-old boy, Michael Kayode, with not much experience at all. He ended up playing 25 games and playing really, really well as well.
No, he was one of the new kids on the block this season.
He was solid, solid in his position. He even got goal contributions as well. He was a fantastic, I think, winger on the right side. One of the better right-sided players in the league, I think, this season.
I went Quarta.
Fair enough.
Because as well, I saw the statistic.
His output is mental, for a center.
His output is ridiculous and his recovery as well, bro.
Quarta's a very good player.
Quarta, I think this is going to surprise you. The amount of goals he has this season. So he has 5 in Serie A. He has 2 in the Conference League. And he has 1 8. In the Europa League. Fucking he has 8 goals this season.
Do you know that once Caldara scored 9 goals in a season in Serie A for Atalanta?
Yes.
How crazy is that? I can't even imagine it. We saw his debut this season with Milan coming on and Milan were leading 3-1 and fucking drew 3-3 with Simeon Wanko. Yeah, wild. But that's a good shout, Quarta.
Yeah, I think he's often overlooked. And as well, his teammate doesn't do him any favors in
Milinkovic. It's true.
So Quarta had to shoulder a lot of responsibility there.
Torino.
Top, I put Duvan.
It's so difficult. It was between Buongiorno, Vanya, and Zapata for me. I went for Zapata simply because he has broken that curse of Torino not being able to score goals. He's come in, 37 Agreed. Games played. He missed one game this season. 13 goals, 4 assists. Cross into the box and he's going to get it.
How crazy though Buongiorno has been. Last season, you remember he was my unsung hero last season and still there wasn't too much raving about him. I was talking about how his aerial duels and how many he won, so on and so forth. But this season it feels like all eyes were on him and he's suddenly become super highly rated.
Yeah, it's true. Flop.
So unsure about this. I know my flop is Lovato.
I agree.
But there's also Vlasic. Fair
enough. But Lovato, for his age, and the fact that he's played 26 games, so it's not like he's not getting a chance, is not developing as expected, man.
Yeah.
He's not as good as he should be.
I agree.
When he was at Hellas again, he showed great potential. Funnily enough, one of his best ever games was marking Duvan Zapata against Atalanta. He kept him in his pocket the whole game. Nowadays, I don't see him as a very strong or formidable centre back at all.
He was
kind of mid this
starting
season.
In the beginning of the season. They got Tamez to replace him.
Not even
a defender.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how shit Lovato was, to be honest.
Fair enough with the Vlasic shout as well. Even Radonjic could have been a shout. Where did he go halfway through the season?
Hey.
Disappeared.
I think he left.
He left.
This so isn't unsung from
me. I put Bellanova.
I put Vanya. As in Bellanova, I put him near my top in brackets.
Okay.
I put Vanya. Because I still don't think he's massively rated in Italy, man.
I think actually many people would say that he's a goalkeeper with flaws.
Mm.
So fair enough. He had a really good season. He keeps upping his level every year consistently, hey. Vanya. Hey. It's come to a point now where I don't even look at him and say, oh, that's Sergei's brother.
Yeah,
he's his own person.
He's, Vanya Milinkovic,
he's broken out of that.
I don't hate you for Bellanova either, because
he's
again,
unsung. Not many people, again,
he's,
know
he's
or
unsung,
rate.
But he might start for Italy. which maybe
I don't
doesn't
think so,
make
because
him so unsung.
Spalletti loves Di Lorenzo from his time at Napoli.
Di Lorenzo on his way out, by the way.
Yes.
Apparently
he's tired of the criticism.
Inter are in for
wait
him.
Wait till you see my Napoli flop.
Wait till you see your Napoli
flop. Napoli flop.
Ah.
No, no. In fact, it's
how
next.
Funny we haven't even been in.
Big. We haven't even mentioned Napoli. Yeah.
Napoli
next.
Top. Interesting.
Guevara. Sometimes I'm watching Napoli and I just give the ball to Guevara and hope he can do something.
Yeah. Guevara and Inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
Flop. Feels a bit bad saying this.
So, automatically I wrote Osimhen. But I am not giving my flop to Osimhen.
You can't. It's like saying Vlahovic for Juve.
Exactly. You can't. He still did well. He just didn't play as well as he has in the past. Mazzocchi, Di Lorenzo. One of those, I think.
I put Juan Jesus.
Juan Jesus, fair enough.
I thought he was shit.
I
thought it's not his fault because Napoli should have invested in a replacement for Kim. But they didn't, and unfortunately, it was Juan Jesus who really didn't have a good season at all.
I think Di Lorenzo, when you look at the season he had last season and the season he had this season, I guess you could consider that a very fair flop.
It's true.
Mazzocchi came from Salernitana. I guess the expectations weren't great, but he flopped hard, especially in that first game he had. Remember the immediate red card?
Yes.
So, one of those it has to be for sure. Unsung hero.
I put Politano.
Judging from the fact that you were surprised that he was in my 11, Politano.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Politano had a great season.
He did. He had a really good season.
He had a great season. I would play him at right wing back.
No, man, you'd be surprised at his defensive contribution. Come on, I mean, Tudor played Zaccagni as left wing back.
Okay, I'm not Tudor. I will never be Tudor.
Genoa.
Yes, I really struggled to find a flop for Genoa.
I was struggling. I picked someone who kind of grew into the season a little bit, but I guess he would be the flop.
Okay.
From
maybe the same one.
So Albert's the
top
best.
Top is Albert.
Love Albert. 35 games played, 14 goals, 4 assists.
No, he's no joke. Like.
No joke. You give him the ball and he'll dribble everyone.
If there is anyone in the world, just the amount of people that have been over here and Genoa are on, and we're like, just keep your eyes on Albert Goodinson, that one. Everyone that's watched him, that I've shown him to, went, oh, this guy's insane. Yeah. Like, this guy is silky as fuck.
Yeah, that's the palest Brazilian I've ever seen.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, he's from Iceland.
Yes. Flop.
Aaron Martin.
I went Haps.
Fair enough. Again, the expectations weren't as high as Aaron Martin's. Mm. Aaron Martin, let's remember, was hailed to be the new Criscito joining Genoa.
Mm.
I think he didn't really live up to it, therefore making him a flop.
Oh my God, you remember that whole thing with Criscito when he missed the penalty?
Which one?
He had missed a penalty that was like
again in the Lanterna, was it?
Uh-huh. But then he scored one to confirm their survival.
Something like that. I remember
like that.
A heroic moment for Criscito. I still like Criscito, very cool left back. He once won me the league.
You always had him on Fanta. Oh my God. Guys, I won the Serie A Spotlight League.
Which means we don't have to buy the Spotheads a cake.
Exactly. I get nothing, man. I get nothing. And I felt like, I don't know, man, it took a lot of work. And I get nothing for it. I finished second in the other one. You won the cup in the other one.
I won the cup in
the
other
fucking Fenix. They were just the dawns of Fanta. Where did you finish in this one, though?
Seventh? No, it's eight teams. Or 10 teams. It's 10 teams. I finished seventh, I think.
I think you finished seventh.
I did really badly.
You did. You
and
did
my,
terribly.
I was often a man down.
Mm.
That defensive thing didn't work out. But anyway, let's move on before I start thinking too much
unsung,
about it.
I think we'll have the same one here.
Morten Frendrup.
No. Johan Vázquez.
Ooh, very nice center back. But I put Frendrup simply because I don't think he missed a game. One game, he missed 37 appearances.
Same with Vázquez.
Fair enough. And Vázquez is one of those highly involved in the attacks. It's probably offensive play. Mm-hmm. But Frendrup, I think, is a midfielder that could start for many teams in Serie A.
It's true.
He's very good.
It's a good shout.
Not many people talk about him. Mm-hmm. And he's super good.
Frendrup is a great shout. Johan Vázquez also has like great leadership qualities, which is a reason I like him.
Aggressive, he invades your personal space when defending, you know, gets all up in your shit.
He's the kind of guy that, like, he has that Rudiger to him, would pinch your nipples and bite your neck, like, my God.
Jesus.
Monza, top.
Colpani or Di Gregorio?
I went Di Gregorio, man.
Fair enough. He was super.
Colpani was great. But especially in the opening 10 games of the season.
Uh-huh, like, where did he go, right?
Exactly.
Di Gregorio is, I think, the most logical top. Mm-hmm.
Flop.
Lorenzo Colombo.
I agree, Colombo.
Lorenzo Colombo, 4 goals and 1 assist in 25 games. And is a player who's on his 4th loan spell in the last 4 years. He has to be doing better than this.
4th loan spell and they bring in a 34-year-old striker to replace you, man. It's not good.
And the striker is so one-dimensional. It's Juric, who we love. He's on the wall behind us, of course. Milan Juric. Cool player. But when you're a young buck, a stud who's out on loan to prove himself, trying to make a future playing for Milan, you've been hailed the new Battistuta, you know. You need to be doing much better, bro.
Hailed the new Battistuta by who, bro?
By who? When this guy was in the youth project.
I remember
with Primavera. He was scoring a goal every 30 minutes with the youth team. This guy, he was super, Lorenzo Colombo.
Camarda, relax, don't let it go to your head, bro. Don't let it go to your head.
Please don't go to City. Shout out Papu Gomez from Monza Flop.
Yes,
It's a shame his son's medicine had steroids in it.
Fuck, man.
Unsung hero, I put Captain Fantastic, Pessina.
Yes, good, great shout.
Leader, never any bullshit, always giving his all, scores, gets assists.
And again, I said this earlier this season, he shifted his position. At Atalanta, he was an attacking midfielder. Mm-hmm. Now he plays in a double pivot and it brings out certain qualities so much more. A, how calm he is on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
B, how he could win the ball back and how physical he is. And then C, he's not as great closer to goal. So, by elimination, that is his position. And I think he has found his position. For me, the unsung hero is Danny Mota. Because at times, when I was watching Monza play, I thought he was their star man.
He doesn't
get enough flowers.
I think we'll discuss after the Fiorentina-Atalanta games. And maybe we'll do like a little goal of the season kind of thing.
Mm.
I think Danny Mota has one of the goals of the season. That scissor kick volley was incredible.
Yes.
For me, it's between him and Elazuzi, dude.
Elazuzi's
goal was crazy.
Don't forget
Di Marco's goal from halfway.
Leao's when he was collapsing to the ground and stuck.
But that was in Europe. That was in the Champions League.
Was it?
I think so.
I'm
Leao in the Champions League. Yeah. Verón.
Who scored from half pitch?
Di Marco. And from like
that
on the left.
It has to be up there as well.
It does. Malinovsky scored a few chakas as well. Yeah. Verona.
Uh-huh. I know you're top.
It's the man who came in and saved them.
Mm-hmm.
Noslin. Tiani Noslin. 17 games played, 5 goals, 4 assists, played striker, played on the wing, totally devastated defenses, very good player.
Mm-hmm. It almost can't be anyone else, right? I put someone else just because I found there to be one player of core value that was there for longer than Noslin, and it's Michael Folaruncho.
Michael Folaruncho is my unsung hero.
He's your unsung hero.
Yes. Yes, and it was between all the midfielders, to be honest.
Mm.
Because Suslov and Duda are also unsung heroes.
Yes.
Because they...
Even Serdar, bro.
All these guys, they didn't miss a game.
It's true.
They played pretty well, especially in the second part of the season.
I think Folaruncho as well, in big games earlier on in the season, when the stakes still weren't so high, he had that great goal, man. Mm. I think... I get why you'd go Nusslin, because when the going got tough, they brought in Nusslin and he was amazing. They had just lost in Gonge as well.
Gonge, Juric, everyone they had lost.
Mm-hmm.
And Nusslin came in. We called him a nobody, essentially. Yeah, exactly. Who are these nobodies they signed? And he got 9 contributions.
You're like, forget Nusslin, let's take a look at Zvidersky. And Nusslin's like...
But, you know, Zvidersky had played his role as well. And mm-hmm. scored 2, I think, very important goals for Verona. Yeah, yeah. Margins.
Mm-hmm. Flop, 3-2-1.
Thomas Henry.
For sure.
He only started 2 games.
He got 2 red cards yes. this season, man. He got 2 red cards. Both like in the 96th or 97th minute, man.
He's 29 years old at this point. Uh-huh. Like, this might not be your level.
No. Unsung hero.
Well, I put Florencio Pitbull.
Uh-huh. I put Magnani.
Oh, nice. Good player. Defensively. Mm-hmm. Very sound. Solid.
I think an aside, like, Verona. Defensively, not great.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're in a situation like they were in, where they need to find goals in order to stay up, it's hard to get clean sheets when you're attacking so much. I feel like Magnani always in every single fucking game showed at least 1000% hustle.
Yeah.
In every single game he wore his heart on his sleeve and he didn't stop running, man. And I truly think, even by your reaction, I think he's so unsung.
He is good.
So
is
unsung.
He's good.
Like.
He is good. Up next we have Lecce.
Mm-hmm.
No, I only felt comfortable giving hard. It gets hard. This is the point where, like,
uh-huh.
finding an unsung hero, he starts sweating.
Uh-huh.
Look, Lecce for me only have one player who was consistent for the entire season.
Okay.
And it's Falcone.
Great one. Great one. He's my unsung.
He's your unsung.
Because we rate him, bro. Uh-huh. I don't think Serie A rates him so much.
Some, I think he often makes the highlight reels and everything. Mm. He's making a name for himself in Serie A. And I remember watching him when he was at Hellas Verona. Was he
yes,
originally?
Bro, yes.
He
yes.
had said, like, my...
No, Sampdoria. Sampdoria. He was being yes. benched by Audero.
He had said, my goal is to hopefully just stay in Serie A. Mm-hmm. And he's done it and he's
I love
doing
him,
it comfortably.
Man. I
he's a
fucking
great
love Falco.
You know, he was a child actor.
Yes, it was him. For a second, I thought it was Montepo.
No.
The main character.
Yeah. Who's your top, so?
Udon,
very good player.
Remy Udon. Fantastic. And in brackets, so second place, obviously, when considering Falcone as my unsung hero, Jean Drey
had a good season.
He had a great season, bro, Jean Drey. He
and
had a really,
the
really
fullbacks
good season.
For Lecce had a good season. Even Gallo had a very good season.
Gallo had a good season. Mm-hmm. That. My God, what the hell is his name?
You're talking about my unsung hero, Dorgu.
Dorgu, baby, there he is.
19
there
years is. Old again, 32 games played and fit in perfectly. Like,
it's true.
Gotti came and played him as well as a winger, like
yes.
very versatile.
In a 4-4-2.
Yeah, played really well,
great.
Dorgu.
Uh-huh. It's a shame that we can't put Krstović and Piccoli because uh-huh. they were great, man. They were great, okay, inconsistent. But once they started playing alongside each other and they stopped uh-huh. being enemies and they
became friends,
kissing, I feel like their qualities came out more. Flop.
I put, just compared to last season, Baschirotto.
I thought about it, but then I'm like, am I being a casual and not choosing Baschirotto because he didn't score a lot of headers?
No, of course not. No. It's simply about how he looked defensively. Mm. Simply about how Lecce weren't as solid defensively, and I think it might have had something to do with the fact that he no longer had Umtiti holding his hand, where he looked very good alongside Umtiti. Pongracic played really well this season, I thought, for the most part at least. And Baschirotto, I thought, was beaten a bit too easily at times. He was my flop. I expected more from him. I expected him to step up.
Mm-hmm. They looked a step behind, Baschirotto. I went Sansone.
Okay.
But to be honest, I agree with you quite a bit over there. Now I know I wasn't going crazy when I had that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Udinese.
Top Samardzic.
No.
No.
Luca.
Lorenzo Luca.
Lorenzo Luca. Top.
I love Luca. You know how much I love Luca. Mm-hmm. But I feel like without Samardzic, Luca wouldn't have been able to do what he did. Because
Samardzic wasn't even starting a lot of the time.
He played 34 games.
How many minutes?
I'm sure his average minutes per game is incredible.
He was coming on quite a lot, bro. Some
but that's because of the rumors, man. I think when it comes to actually players on the pitch, like his quality is next level. And even Thuvan, let's not get it twisted. Thuvan played a bit less, but his average minutes per game, Samardzic, is 70, granted. I think Samardzic was the glue for this team. And that's why he's the player who's mostly sought after. But when it comes to Luka, bro, this is his first season in Serie A and he looked so comfortable. And he's one of my favorite strikers in the
thing
in the
is,
league.
Luka, so before they had Beto, if you look at Luka's numbers this season, you look at Beto's numbers in the past few seasons, at least when it comes to goals, they match.
Yeah.
But when Beto wasn't scoring, he was making the team worse.
Yes, with his first touch.
Luka always makes the team better. Always makes the team better.
Because he's high IQ. He's smart. He's got that Ajax.
Just technical players, man. Yeah. All around him. There's Thuvan. There's Samardzic. There's Pereira. All these guys that he can just lay it off to.
And for a player who's 6'7", his touch is immaculate.
Yes, bro. 6'7" is crazy.
It's crazy.
Man.
It's crazy. Like, how does he drive? How does he get in lifts?
How does he do anything, man?
Flop, man. Oh, man. I went through the archives. I had no idea who to pick for flop.
Hey,
because they're not great, but they're not blatantly terrible. I went for Ferreira.
I knew you were going to go for Ferreira because recently you passed the comment. You're like, I don't like this fucking Ferreira guy one bit, man. I'm trying not to let you influence me so much. I'm like, who do I think was shit? I found it so obvious that it's Silvestri. Like, I just found it so obvious Silvestri. He got benched as fuck, bro.
He got benched by my unsung hero, the Super Eagle Okoye.
Same.
Hell yeah.
Same.
Other unsung hero, by the way, Jaka Bior.
Yes.
Incredible.
Wins
player.
Has the second most headers per game on average in Serie A.
Jesus.
Juric is first.
Hoofed. Cagliari.
Because I know this team inside out, when it came to a top, I was struggling.
Because they will have, again, phases. But I think there's one player that from the very first game to the very last game, he was a weapon. He was a dynamic that even if he wasn't scoring.
Luvumbozito.
Yes. If he wasn't scoring or assisting, he was always influencing the game. Especially those comebacks at the first part of the season for Cagliari. That was all Luvumbozito.
The win against Napoli.
Everything. Even against Atalanta, we went too much. You put so much pressure on them towards the end. So you can say, okay, the likes of Viola. You can say the likes of Dossena. Dossena's not a bad shout, in fact. We'll talk later. But Luvumbo with his measly 4 goals and 5 assists, for me, added a new gear to the Cagliari side. A gear that they didn't have. He's my top.
That's why. We agree.
Flop?
Petagna. I'm so...
Or Vietesca, man.
Ah, true. Vietesca is not a bad shout. You know who also wasn't great? What the fuck?
Is it Hatzidiakos?
No, this is Zappa.
Zappa wasn't great at all. Huh?
Zappa wasn't great at all. Zappa was kind of shit.
But Petagna, I'm not going to pick him because he sat next to us. At the game. So I can't pick him.
Shout out, bro.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Unsung hero, Dossena.
We agree. It could be Erimina as well, but Dossena just did it for longer, bro.
He did it for the whole season. Granted, not for Sinona game, he made 3 mistakes.
Can I just go back to Petagna a bit? Let me just go back to Petagna a bit. He just hasn't gotten going, I feel like.
Ever since, ever since Atalanta.
Yes, bro.
It's true.
So he started at Spal, promoted like
a whole team built around him, that Spal team in Serie A, and they failed.
He goes Atalanta, Milan, like, and then starts falling off, goes to Napoli, he's on the bench, like, and slowly, and then Monza, he was on the bench. Well, to be honest, at Monza, he was good for their hold up play and stuff like that, but just not scoring. And now Cagliari.
It's not happening for him.
He's like third choice at Cagliari, bro. They play with 2 strikers.
I think he has like off the pitch interests.
I think so.
He likes nightlife. He has his girlfriend. He's into fashion and the kind of like that mini celebrity scene, you know. I think he has these interests.
Good for him.
I mean, he's a young millionaire at the end of the day, you know. I mean, who am I to bloody tell him? Of course, he's a millionaire. So, he's probably the flop. It's disappointing because he is nicknamed the Bulldozer for a reason, right? Because when he was younger, when he was sharper, he was a beast. Yeah, at Atlanta, I remember, like, he was a monster.
Still love him, man. Still root for him.
Of course.
Empoli, top. I don't give a fuck. Niang.
Same. I don't care. 14 games played, but guess what? He got 7 goal contributions. He came and fixed their problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Niang.
Flop.
But
close your eyes.
But
I don't know. Close your eyes. Do this. In front of you have Destran Caputo.
But I had no expectations for them. So I went for Petzella.
But before that...
because Petzella is 26 years old. He should be getting more than 14 starts with Empoli. And how is Kakace preferred them? Who had a pretty good season.
Quite a good season.
Quite good.
Spendi didn't do shit, but he's like 21 years old. What do you mean?
His dad had the whole thing. I don't know what he did exactly.
What did Spendi's dad do?
Spendi's dad punched someone in the face or something. Yes. If you have something to say, I can find it in the meantime.
Okay. So Destran Caputo, you had no expectations for them. But they didn't have other strikers, bro. So you have had to have some kind of expectations of them.
So in a Serie C match between Cesena and Olbia, Spendi's father ran onto the field, charged towards the goalkeeper Rinaldi, and punched him in the face. Yeah. The headline, Spendi's father throws punch at goalkeeper.
That's all you need to know. Yeah. Why read the article? It's right there.
You're right, though. They did need someone to score the goals. They brought on the likes of like Cancellieri, Jazzy to try maybe and add a bit of you could call those guys flops as well. Granted them at the end of the
I'm not going to go for either of those as flops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to go Jazzy as flop. Because he played almost every single game. How can bro be a flop?
Exactly.
He did
what he always does.
Exactly. He was further away from goal, mashallah, because in front of goal, he's a disaster. Just playing like left wing back, left midfield, it was okay.
So who are you going to go, bro?
For what?
Flop.
No, for flop, I said, Destro Caputo.
Okay. So my unsung hero for Empoli is Luperto.
Great. Mine's Male.
Male had a very good season.
Male.
Nice. But Luperto for me is just so good, man. Beyond his years, like.
True.
Frosinone.
Top Sule.
Sule, 36 games, 11 goals, 3 assists.
Flop, I think, will agree as well.
Kai George. With 8 starts only on loan from Juve and 3 goals. He should have nailed that position. He should have had it hands down.
Juve, for his next loan, had a clause. Needs to play X amount of minutes. Unsung, I think, would probably agree as well.
Brescianini. I put Zortea.
Zortea is a good shout.
Yes, Brescianini is fantastic. I am a big fan of Brescianini. Scuola Milan, of course, came up from the Milan Academy. Plays with his heart on his sleeve.
The next time, pick him.
Nope, because Nadir Zortea, for me, is a fantastic right back.
Zortea is on loan from...
from Atalanta.
Atalanta.
But that doesn't make him a hero, does
unsung.
It? He's unsung. Ooh. 19 games... 2 goals, 5 assists for Nadir Zortea.
I think Brescianini is a cooler answer, though.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Sassuolo. They're top for me. I don't give a fuck if he only played 17 games. It's Berardi. Because 17 games, 9 goals and 3 assists. Guess what? Berardi got injured and everyone just showed how incompetent they were. So how can you pick anyone else?
You are absolutely right.
I was here writing towards Vettel.
That's what I did. To be honest, I'm cringing. I'm saying towards Vett at top when Berardi did what he did for as long as he was there.
So it has to be Berardi.
Berardi, it has to be.
Flop, where do you even begin?
Flop is, let's just say, this guy's hung like a horse. Why do I say that? Like Castillejo.
Yeah, it's true. Castillejo forgot he was there.
And
Castillejo was a signing that
before
failed.
You guys think anything, Castillejo actually has like a massive dick. There's a there's a photo of him in what am I doing, man? There's a photo of him in white shorts and everyone can see his huge dick. Okay, next.
Thank you for sharing. That was Matthew Fennec, 3 hour.
Why?
So yes, you can pick between Josh Doig, you can pick between Volpato, Ruan Tresoldi, there are so many. Personally, I think every single season, Ruan Tresoldi shows us
how shit he deserves to be in Serie C.
Yes. But Doig and Volpato didn't do themselves, especially Josh Doig. I think they should have done better.
It's true.
But fair enough, I would the Castillo shout. I totally forgot about him. Just goes to show what a flop. Berardi, he was playing at Milan.
Berardi went out injured for an entire season. He didn't even get a sniff at right wing, his first position, the position he played in other with Milan.
Absolutely. The unsung hero can't be a defender, it can't be a goalkeeper, it can't be Pinamonti, it can't be Lauriente. I thought Henrique was a little bit shit, to be honest with you, in important moments. He'd play all right and he'd lose the ball and it'd be a goal.
Everyone was shit, though, man. For
I put towards it. Unsung.
If he's not top, then it's towards it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that, bro.
Yeah.
So put Berardi top, unsung towards vet. Nice.
Salernitana.
Here we fucking go now. Here's a top back. Andreva.
34 games, 6 goals, 6 assists. Who else are you going to pick?
He was having from distance.
It's true. Flop. Now, I asked you a question. I asked you, do we have rules? Can we pick someone who hasn't played? And you said no rules, right? So the flop has to be Dia.
I did this.
And you picked a random person?
Boateng and Manolas next to each other.
You picked them both?
Whoever it lands on.
Nice. Gyomber also was a bit of a flop.
Gyomber was quite shit.
Unsung hero, Chauna.
Yeah, with Maggiore.
Maggiore, I think, didn't really do great for most of the season. Towards the end, he picked up. Chauna, towards the end, he picked up as well.
Ah, Chauna, I agree with you. Chauna.
4 goals, 3 assists.
He was
the guy doing this.
Exactly, he was doing some of this.
Scoring some crazy goals and missing easy ones.
Exactly.
This is so much fun, bro.
I love...
We keep going, we do Serie B.
This is... It's a staple of every season for us. We end it with a good old tops and flops. Like, then we threw in the unsung, you know what I mean?
It's been a fun season, man. I can't believe it's been the end of our 3rd season doing this.
Yes.
Third season.
We're going to start season 4, bro.
Crazy. Here we are with our video setup in our studio.
Slow and steady wins the race, Aji. Cheers. Well done. That's to season 3 of Serie A Spotlight. I think we still have a couple more
episodes. We'll do a few more episodes. The season isn't even over yet.
Because there's Fiorentina, Atalanta. There's the Serie B playoffs, which we'll do an entire rundown of. And then there's the Conference League final.
Champions League final, which, by the way, have you realized yet? Have you been made aware of what's happened to us? And we have absolutely no say in this.
No, no.
The wedding. Is at the same time as the Champions League final.
I have
diarrhea.
To be honest, this gland over here has been a bit wacky.
Good thing I'm in a confined space with
each
you.
Get a portable charger with us. Fuck it.
Fuck it. I
don't give a fuck. Who?
Who gets married during the Champions League?
Who gets married during the Champions League final? Who gets married during the Champions League final? I'm going to say it. What kind of man gets married during the Champions League final?
Illa la man. Yeah. That's absolutely detrimental for the Fenix, but fuck it.
We move.
We watch the Champions League final on our phone.
As long as it's not the Serie B playoff final.
You know what? 4K, bro.
We might just be
with our VR headsets.
Thank you guys for an amazing season. I'm not going to bid you such a strong farewell because we have some more episodes for season 3.
We never stop in reality.
It's true.
Because if we stop, the stats all go red and we start panicking.
Are the Euros going to be season 3 or season 4?
The Euros can be season 3. It makes sense.
Uh-huh.
See
announcement
you later.
Right here, right now. Euros season 3. Love you all. Take care.
This is Serie A Spotlight.
If you like Serie A or have ever liked it in the past, it's a good opportunity for you to listen once a week and you'll get filled in.
In the football weekend, that's like the main dish. But then a few days later, you drop your episode and that's like the dessert. And the dessert is just perfect.
It's good, the cake.
It makes it feel like we're all sitting in a room together, just BSing with each other.
The atmosphere is fantastic.
I promise nobody will ask you to send boob pics.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I love how you go into so much detail and show so much passion towards each and every team. Literally, no team is left undiscussed.
When I listen to you, it's like I'm talking to you in a pub. It's like I'm chatting to a friend and you're chatting to me.